Everything about you is so irresistible.
You are listening to Right Back At Ya, the 2000s pop music podcast where we have fun taking pop music seriously. Hosted by the boy that's hot like fire and he wants to love you forever, David and Lim, and me, backup dancer turned queen of rock, the UK's Ashley Simpson, Joel Babington. Hello, David. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, Joel. It's so good to be doing this again. It has been a minute.
A lot's gone on. Firstly, belated happy birthday to you, David.
Oh, thank you very much, JB. I feel like last night when we went to push the button with all the boys, that was like my second birthday night out, you know, because you can join us then and it was more festive.
We were finally reunited, which was absolutely wonderful.
So much fun. So yeah, if our voice is a little husky, a little deep, a little bit sultry, you know why.
Ashley's today.
Too much screaming.
From our headlining show at the RV too.
Oh yeah, that was actually, Howell sent me a video of both of us. I think we were on top of a bench or something and we were like, it was a pop concert.
Well,
in our minds it was.
Mystique came on, there was an area for us. I got on there, pulled you up there, had to be done.
It was the Right Back At Ya stage. Yeah.
RVT, we are available.
We are available. Also, speaking of stages, I had a really good time at Mighty Hoopla. This is how long it's been since our episode record. Unfortunately, you couldn't join us there. But I just want to say once again to everyone that came up to me and Joel there by in spirit, everyone that came up to us, thank you so much for all the love, for following our podcast, just enjoying what we do. And that was really sweet just to have just so many people come up and say that, which is, lovely. We love it.
And I can't wait to be there next year.
Get that Right Back At Ya tent going, Mighty Hoopla.
Come on. We
Jenny
are
Frost
ready.
Tent,
The Jenny Frost stage, the Thank You Baby tent. So, guys, you know, we are back and ready to dive into one of my most anticipated episodes today. It is time for Jessica and Simpson. I thought this day would never come, but it is finally here, people. So, David, before we kick off, can you please read out one of our lovely 5-star reviews?
Absolutely. Now, this one is left on Apple Podcasts and it's Pop 2K Diva. The title says, legit iconic. As an American who loves pop music from not only the Y2K era, but also from other parts of the world, this podcast is a dream come true. Words can't describe how much I listen to this podcast on a daily basis. All of the episodes these guys have released have been on artists I love, like The Spice Girls, Destiny's Child, The Minogue Sisters, Gwen Stefani, Sugar Babes, 3LW, JoJo, Stacey Arrico, Ashley Tisdale, Christina Milian, etc. I feel like I made a couple of friends who have the same sense of humor and taste in music as me. I recommend this podcast 150%. If there was an episode I could request, I would want an Aaliyah episode.
We've had quite a few requests for Aaliyah, you know, David.
There's a real resurgence in Aaliyah appreciation, right? Because I think her music is now on streaming or will be on streaming or something.
Finally on streaming. And, you know, let us know. Maybe. It isn't something we discussed before.
No, but you do love a pop star turn actress. Like, you do like these crossovers. And Aaliyah has given us those moments.
Oh, Aaliyah, you know, absolute legend. And I would absolutely be up for it. You know, the talent with her was through the absolute roof. Need to immerse in it. And we would need it to be exceptional, because that's what she deserves.
Amen indeed. Also, Joel, we had a lovely message from Tara that I'd like to read.
Yes, lovely Tara on Instagram.
Yes, very lovely. Thank you so much for this, Tara. I just wanted to say that I absolutely love the both of you. You make me smile and feel like I'm catching up with good friends. I'm a nurse and work is very hard in Sydney. I look forward to listening to your episodes on my days off. Keep going. Oh, lots of love to you, Tara.
Thank you so much, Tara. Absolute love to you. And as I said, as we were messaging on Instagram anyway, you know, just keep doing what you're doing. It's such important work that you're doing. And it's an honor for us to hear that we're, you know, bringing you any joy in this time. That's what we want to do with everyone. That's what we're doing for each other. So we are all here. We'll digitally hold hands and give each other a big hug and lots of love. So guys, if you are loving what we're doing, and we hope you are, please do leave us a 5-star review and tell your friends. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and follow us at Right Back Pod on all socials. Right, David and Lim, shall we get into it?
Look, this is an artist that has been on the list from the very start of this podcast. I feel like you've wanted to do Jessica Simpson even before we came up with the title of this podcast. Like, she is just... And, you know, I hold my hand up. This is 100% my fault for it taking over 3 years to get to this. I needed to come to that space within myself emotionally, mentally, just to dive into these first two Jessica Ann Simpson albums, because I kind of know her from the kind of With You era onwards. That was when I came on, and I'm just very like, am I ready for this? Can I do it? And do you know what really clicked, Joel? My birthday weekend, very drunk, kind of like still hungover in bed, I got a DM from one of our lovely listeners from Australia, Tyler, who, I don't know how we got onto this conversation, but mentioned Jessica Simpson's country album. I was kind of like, okay, I'm not sure if I'm ready for the country album, but now's a good time while I'm horizontal in bed, unable to process too much. Let me put on Jessica's first album. And that was when I started texting you in a flurry, like, okay, we need to do Jessica Simpson.
You needed some sweet kisses.
And paracetamol at that time, yes. And lots of water.
That's what the sweet kisses were. That's what she meant. If it was up to me, this would be the Jessica Ann Simpson podcast.
The love is real. And, you know, if you've been listening to our podcast for some time, you would know that Joel has a Fab Four. So that's Brittany, Christina, obviously Jessica Ann, and Mandy Moore. So
the women that raised me.
We've done a Mandy Moore episode. We've touched on Brittany with Baby One More Time. Mm-hmm. And now it's Jessica's turn.
In the spotlight. On the Right Back At You stage at Mighty Hoopla.
Oh my God. Can you imagine if she did a pride set or something, like if she came to Hoopla?
We need like a Christian pride.
The Stacey Orico Festival.
Jump five, Stacey Orico and Jessica Ann Simpson say gay rights.
So yes, we are celebrating the pop vocalist supremo, reality TV pioneer, America's sweetheart, and savvy businesswoman behind a $1 billion fashion empire, and also recent best-selling author, Jessica Simpson. She has released 7 studio albums, 4 of which were top 10 on the US Billboard 200. Not everybody has that. She has sold millions of albums worldwide. She's a star of the groundbreaking global hit reality TV show Newlyweds with Nick and Jessica, with her then husband, Nick Lachey, of 98 Degrees. Like, I think people don't realize that after the Osbournes, like, then came Newlyweds, and it was just the dawn of reality TV, wasn't it, Joel? Like, it was so huge.
It changed the game.
Like, it took celebrity to a new level, didn't it?
And it took Jessica and celebrity to a new level. And how you were actually saying With You onwards is how you really know her, is actually how most of the world really know Jess. Even me is actually how I really got into Jessica Ann, and then retroactively
went back
and fully absorbed myself in as the UK number one Jessica and Ashley fan club president.
So look, maybe you guys are kind of like where I was before starting researching this episode, and you kind of know Jess from Newlyweds era onwards. So maybe this will help fill in the gaps for you, because we are diving into her first two albums, Sweet Kisses and Irresistible. And Also, Joel, I cannot thank you enough for... You've been nagging me to do this for about a year to...
Nagging is the right term.
I mean, nagging is putting it mildly. Like, I was close to sending a letter from my lawyer to say cease and desist because there was a lot of pestering for me to read. A lot of pestering for me to read Jessica Ann Simpson's memoir, Open Book. And I'm in the midst of it right now, Joel. You told me to get the audiobook version. Fucking hell. It is incredible.
It is incredible. It is a well-deserved number one New York Times best-selling memoir.
Like, you just don't realize, like, I don't think people expect this much vulnerability. And like, her story is so interesting. Like, we only know a third of what we think we know.
She really is an open book, which is the perfect title for the book. She gives us everything, obviously, that we know of her, that she's comfortable with. And it is an emotional journey. You're laughing with her. You're crying with her. You're getting choked up. You're going through everything as she's reliving everything and telling it to you. Especially the audio book, you feel like you're sat there with a dear old friend who's telling you everything, all these stories that you never knew before. And...
She gets choked up reading some parts.
She gets choked up.
And then gets me choked up. I was like, oh my God.
I was crying to some of it the other day, you know, and laughing to some of it. And it's just, I think even if you aren't a Jessica Simpson fan, it's a very interesting story and memoir. So before we jump into 1999, David, let's just quickly talk about some of Jessica Ann Simpson's work before we knew her as Jessica Ann Simpson. So at age 12, Jessica auditioned for the Mickey Mouse Club alongside some other familiar names, Kerry Russell, Britney Spears, J.C. Chazet, an actor called Ryan Gosling. It does ring a tiny bell. Jessica was a huge, you know, favourite for the producers at the audition. She absolutely soared. She got down to the final 12. All the families of these final 12 got invited to, you know, a 2-week audition boot camp at Disney.
Britney was there. Christina was there. Justin Timberlake was there. Ryan Gosling, as you said. Like, iconic cast.
It's like, if only they knew how defining these people for our generation were going to
be. Well, someone that got the inkling was Jessica Simpson's mum, who said, you're going to run into these girls again in the future. You'll see them again. Like, talking about Britney and Christina. Wow.
Jessica, she was doing a lot of dancing competitions and singing competitions, but this was the first sort of professional audition she'd done. Mm. Whereas these other kids, and you can imagine kind of how stage parents can be, they're churning it out.
Yeah. So this is, you know, Britney had just done a show off Broadway, and then she came into this 2-week boot camp for Disney. So she was already like, a very experienced performer compared to Jess, who, like you said, was, I think, you know, when we were listening to audiobooks, she was like, I didn't even have like professional headshots when I first went into it. You know, the Disney producers had to pay for me to get an actual photo shoot.
Britney and Christina had actually auditioned a few years prior and the producers loved them. They were just too young and told to come back. So it's always that thing as well, if they were already on the producer's radar. So, you know, and it's like they had a head start in ways. Yeah. So Jessica, for a 12-year-old, is thrown into the deep end here. Her final big audition at the end of the 2-week boot camp is after Christina Aguilera. And so she describes, and it's never shady in the book, and it's not shady at all, but she describes, you know, as Christina as this tiny little girl, a kind of a little bit mousy. She has glasses. I'm wearing glasses now. And then she shows up to the final audition with her hair done, no glasses. She's wearing contacts and sings this big song. And she was just like, how has this little girl got such a big voice? So then she goes out there and she's just a little bit thrown after she has seen Christina perform. And her song goes okay. And then when it comes to doing her monologue and her dancing, she just says, you know, she kind of really just freezes and absolutely blows it, which, you know, is completely understandable. People would easily do that now under the pressure, let alone being a 12-year-old. But we know how this industry works. There's millions of auditions people go on every day, and it's just that one break. So we can't put so much pressure on, oh, so you didn't get that one thing. So moving on from that, Jessica starts doing her thing, singing on the Christian scene, and she signs with a small independent gospel label, and she records her ultimately unreleased gospel album just titled Jessica.
Her father, Joe Simpson, by this point was like, okay, I'm going to manage her. So she came very close to releasing this album, and then the label went bust and she had to borrow money from his mother, I believe, so Jessica's grandma, to get this album pressed and made, like physical copies. And so everywhere she performed, she would be out there selling the CDs as well. And this is not a showbiz family. Like, they don't come from that kind of experience in a very similar way to like Beyonce and Solange and, you know, the Knowles family. Like, Matthew Knowles didn't have like industry connections or anything. He just did it.
Now, some of that, the whole album actually is out there online on YouTube.
Oh, really?
So the opening song of the album starts with a, hey, 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 hey. It's kind of the vibe. Very 80s and 90s.
Interesting. Religious. But Christian, yeah.
But very Christian. And she ultimately manages to get signed with Columbia, scouted by, as we mentioned in our Destiny's Child episode, the same A&R.
Yeah, Teresa La Barbera. So very iconic. And how that happened was when Jessica was recording her gospel tracks, upon the request, I think, suggestion of the producers, they were like, you should record some secular music as well, as in non-Christian. So she kind of didn't want to do it, but she did it. And then she didn't love the demos, told the producer, get rid of it, never ever.
Delete that
file. That producer didn't do it. And the demo somehow ends up at this A&R person's desk. And yeah, Teresa flew down, had to meet Jessica. And after Jessica sang for her, she's like, you're coming to meet Tommy Mottola.
Oh, gosh. If you listened to our last episode, you might know a thing or two about Tommy. So she's in with 1999, or I think it's actually 1997 she signs with Columbia. And which is actually really interesting if you think about the timeline of really what Mariah's going through. He would be trying to get or needing, you know, a new signature vocalist.
So, yes. Yeah, I mean, I think Tommy's vision was for like a blonde teen pop Mariah. And this is the other thing, right? Joe Simpson was a preacher. Jessica had this thing, it was like, you know, she's a preacher's daughter singing Christian music. And she would go into like Tommy's office or whoever, like all these record label offices. And she was very upfront and said, you know, I want to set a good example for kids. You know, good, wholesome Christian morals, that kind of stuff. So that was her thing from the get-go. So he was excited about getting involved with Jessica's launch. So this is a priority act for Tommy Mottola. Seeing Britney and Christina come out, I think the summer before Jessica launched, was kind of like made everyone think, okay, how can we make her stand out? Because I think they actually held her debut back.
Yeah, the debut got pushed back a little bit just because all this stuff was going on, and I think they were trying to figure out what's our way to launch,
what's our angle, because it's saturated. Britney's done very well with Baby One More Time. Christina, her label rushed out her album straight away off the back of that, so they didn't want Jessica to get lost in it. But before the debut single comes out, she got on the Dawson's Creek soundtrack, right?
She did. April 1999, the Dawson's Creek soundtrack is released, featuring the song Did You Ever Love Somebody by Jessica Simpson. Now, this song is featured in Series 2, Episode 6, during a pivotal moment of Percy and Andy having a little kiss.
Did you ever love somebody so much that earth moved? Did you ever love somebody even though it hurt to?
Now, Dawson's Creek was, you know, the biggest teen show on the planet at the time. So this was a big deal and really quite a cool way to kind of, you know,
softly launch. Yeah.
Get the music out there, get the teens like already hearing a bit of it. Now, David, yeah, before we now kick off our journey, I just want to quickly ask you, do you think ultimately it was best for Jessica's career, even though it would have felt horrible at the time, do you think it was best for her career that the gospel label folded and therefore there was no release? And then the way the world got to see Jessica Simpson was as a mainstream hop artist? Because do you feel like it would have taken a really slow time to like be an independent Christian artist and then slowly climb up and then slowly climb up to a pop crossover?
No, I mean, I think everything happens for a reason, right? Not to sound circumspect, but I think if she had done the route as an independent artist and had a few more years, she would have maybe had more confidence and know herself as an artist and be able to stand up for herself more going into a big machine like Sony, perhaps, because she didn't have a say, obviously. She was just doing whatever the label wanted her to do, how to dress, how much weight to lose, all that kind of crap. So I think, yeah, if she had hustled and done the thing as, you know, I've got an established fan base, I've got experience, like maybe she could stand up for herself a little bit more, I think.
Yeah, I never thought of it that way. That's very insightful, David Ann Lim. Wow.
I love that my middle name is now Anne. Like, I
one
am
episode
just part
exclusive.
Yeah, I joined Kylie Ann Minogue and Jessica Ann Simpson. Now that's me, yeah.
And Anthoness Ann Hutchins.
Now, when did you become aware of Jessica Simpson? Was it from this first single?
I can actually tell you the very first time I heard the name Jessica Simpson. We were in Malta. It's circling back to Elise's, you know, my sister Elise. It's circling back to her holiday entertaining days.
Oh my God, yes, the Destiny Child. Dun, 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 dun. The gun hands, the choreography. It's an iconic moment in our Destiny's Child episode, guys. Yeah.
So she was in Malta for a season, went out to visit her. There was one of those CD and DVD stalls selling versions of releases. And the purchases of this trip were Shakira's Laundry Service, Atomic Kitten, Feels So Good, and like Kylie Fever.
Wow.
And while we were browsing, there was an American girl. It wasn't Jessica Simpson.
She was in the market in Malta. You can tell my eyes like opened up. I was like, wait a minute. I've not heard this story.
And this girl, so I must have been 10. And this American girl goes, do you have any Jessica Simpson? And I turned to Kylie and I was like, who's Jessica Simpson? Because obviously The Simpsons, the TV show, was such a phenomenon as well. Hearing someone else with that name, my mind just couldn't process it. So I was like, who is Jessica Simpson? And Kylie was like, oh, she's just some singer. She's like a bit not current, shall we say. Like, she's a bit of yesteryear. Because I guess it would have been sandwiched between like these two albums that we're talking about today and Newlyweds not coming out yet.
Yeah.
So that is forever ingrained in my mind. And then when the Newlywed stuff started coming out, I was like, that's Jessica Simpson. And then instantly obsessed. I had that at the In This Skin album. And I said to myself, I'm going to listen to this CD every day over the summer. And I'm just going to copy everything she does so I can be as good a singer as she is.
She was your vocal coach. Wow.
I went back and got the first two albums. I bought the Dream Chaser DVD, which we'll talk about later, which was like an import, spending far too much money on this stuff.
Oh my gosh.
Bought the This Is The Remix album when I was
Wow, you
on
even
holiday.
Bought the Remix album?
I just Damn. Had to have everything. Had to have it all. I was obsessed.
My family moved to Australia and I was in the final year of primary school, which is very weird because A, you're immigrating to a new country. Mm. And B, you're joining in a final year of primary school and everyone's already formed those bonds. And you know the next year you're going to have to do it all over again in high school. So I didn't really have that many friends, but I always remember the girls in school buzzing about these four things. Britney, Dawson's Creek, Christina Aguilera, and Jessica Simpson. I've seen her name in Smash Hits magazines, but I don't really remember like listening to music until Irresistible comes out. So this first album mostly passed me by.
Well, teaser today, guys, we are talking about my two favorite, not just my two favorite Jessica Ann Simpson songs today, but two of my favorite songs of all time.
Whoa.
So as you were saying, David, let's go to August 1999. The US airwaves are set ablaze with the debut single from a fresh new vocalist called Jessica Simpson. I've never been, now I only want to be right where you are.
Want to Love You Forever was such a distinct move. They wanted this blonde teen pop sensation to stand out from the other two. So they deliberately picked a huge power ballad. So this one's written and produced by Louis Biancaniello and Sam Waters, who have worked with Whitney Houston and Mariah, worked on the Bodyguard soundtrack. So these people know their way around a big ballad. My favorite story about this kind of era, this like first album era with Jessica, is that this is a big love song and she hasn't had boyfriends or those types of romantic relationships. So she said in a book, what they did was in the vocal booth, the producers would put up like pictures of like TV and film heartthrobs just to help her emote, you know, when she's singing, she can sing to these boys.
Oh, it's sweet.
It's so
isn't
sweet.
It? Method. So who would you stick up if that was you? Sid Owen?
Yeah, Sid Owen, Joe McElderry. Ben Whishaw.
David's covers, Love Classics album. You could have that in the track listing. Like each cover and then I Will Love You Forever. Brackets, dedicated to Sid Owen. Always Be My Baby, dedicated to Joe McElderry. And obviously I'd put up Adam Rickett and Lee.
Oh yeah. Scruff Daddy Lee as H called on Instagram recently. Scream.
Facts.
Now, what do you think about this song, JB? Because this one is a knockout. It's not an easy song to sing.
This song is phenomenal, David. It is a stunning, stunning, stunning ballad. Both the recorded version and some stunning live vocals of this from the time, David. I don't know if you've seen the American Music Awards performance, but it is mind-blowing. And the comments are just filled with like, wow, this girl, she's so underrated. I didn't know Jessica Simpson could sing like that. Mm. And also the Music Mania performance, which is the first time she ever sung it live on television.
Wow.
It's incredible.
I mean, look, I will say part of my hesitancy with getting into a Jessica Anne episode is because I don't always love the way she sings. I think it can sound a little bit strained. But, you know, that's a personal preference and I'm certainly warming up to it. You know, full disclosure, my favorite Jessica album and I think her best work is A Public Affair, which comes obviously many years down the line where she's maybe grown up a little bit more and learned to try different styles of singing. But we're going to get that very, she's going to throw every vocal riff at you and really belt, you know, in these very earnest early recordings.
Everything you can do and more, we need to show it.
Because also, like, this was, what, the late 90s? And we're coming off a huge era in the mid-90s where, like, mega ballads were huge sellers.
Do you think Titanic would have been better if this had been on it instead of My Heart Will Go On? We could have had a Claire Sweeney cover of this.
I thought you said, like, if Jessica Simpson sang My Heart Will Go On.
Well, and that.
Yeah.
Double A side, My Heart Will Go On, / I Want to Love You Forever.
I can just imagine, like, that kind of sexy Barbie voice in the verses. Every night in my dreams, I see you, I feel you.
Wow. That was, get that to Tommy Mottola. They should have cast Jessica Simpson and Nick Lachey as Kate Winslet and Leonardo DiCaprio in Titanic.
Then maybe the movie would have, done a bit better the box office. Yeah, it would have actually been a box office success then.
It could have actually won a Teen Choice Award. So what do you think of the choice of releasing a ballad as the debut single?
Like, of all the ballads, like maybe in 1999, this was already sounding very dated. Like, this feels like something Mariah would have put out, say, maybe 96 or 97.
Yeah, it does feel very 1997, which I know is only 2 years, but
but
it does
in pop,
feel
things
like
move
it.
So quickly. So I'm like, how long have y'all been sitting on this demo for? So shall we talk about the music video? Because I'm very, like, fascinated with this gorgeous music video.
Yes. We've got the setup of, we've got different sort of, I wouldn't even say glamorous, they're just gorgeous, but it's accessible, isn't it? So we've got Jessica Simpson at a photo shoot. We've got planes in the background. We've got sunflowers in bits.
It's like, look, it's directed by Billy Woodruff, who did Celine Dion's My Heart Will Go On and Toni Braxton's Unbreak My Heart music videos. So epic divas only. You know, we're getting this dramatique. It kind of looks like a GQ shoot, very that. And she's giving wholesome Tommy Hilfiger Abercrombie and Fitch girl next door vibes, would you say? You know, white trousers, white crop top, denim jacket, like clean, yeah, wholesome.
Just a fun Christian girl hanging out, you know?
Yeah. And oh, that scene where she's goofing around with her girlfriends in the trailer. Yeah. Ashley,
including Ashley. If you didn't know, Ashley is one of Jessica's dancers for the first two album eras, which as well, great sort of way for Ashley to get that sort of training and see it all as it's happening and figuring it out, which is why
she could
be so opinionated when it got to her career.
She's earned her divaship already.
She's earned her divaship, and she's like, I want to do rock. This song was really successful, I Want to Love You Forever, really successful in America. And I think people have forgotten that. I think because everyone knows her from With You Onwards, or even like Irresistible and I Think I'm In Love With You, people have forgotten about this. I mean, American listeners, let us know. But to me, as a Jessica stan,
it's not mentioned enough for you?
No. Even though, things will say it's considered one of her signature songs, if not the signature song, I just feel like if you were going to a Jessica concert, you'd want With You, you'd want Irresistible. Would Joe Next Door, not Joe the Dad, know this song?
Joe should know every lyric, every word. I bet he does.
Oh, I bet he's off book. He's ready to stand in it.
Yeah, so look, this was a platinum-selling hit in the US. It peaked at number 3 on the Billboard Hot 100 and stayed in that position for 5 weeks. So, and you know what? For her launch, Jessica had to do lots of radio tours, which was, you know, at this time, radio was king, right? And you couldn't just, like, phone it in or do it over Zoom, honey. No, you had to go in person into every single one of these regional stations and, like, sweet talk the producer, charm them, sing for them. And she had to do this up and down the country everywhere in order for this to be a success. So, hats off.
And do you know what's really interesting, David? This single did also reach number 1 for 6 consecutive weeks on the Hot 100 singles sales charts. So it was a huge number 7 hit here in the UK.
Now, this actually wasn't released in the UK until April 2000. So we had a couple of months. She came over to the UK to promote, did Top of the Pops, all that stuff that she should be doing. And there's this like really interesting performance of her doing this song at Top of the Pops, and there's just a bunch of bored kids standing around her podium. Like,
Top of the Pops can make it feel, especially in that setup, can make it feel awkward when it's a ballad, because they, you know, they'll all be standing, clapping, dancing when it's up tempo.
Well, you're not clapping to a rhythm or dancing, like you say, you're literally just swaying. And they're not even swaying in motion, like it's
year 6 school disco. Number 9 in Australia, David. Very
yes,
good.
You're welcome.
Very good.
Platinum.
Thank you. 16 in New Zealand, 10 in Scotland, 12 in Canada on their Canada Top Singles charts. So November 23rd, 1999, Jessica Simpson releases her debut album, Sweet Kisses.
Columbia was not wasting any time. Look, this single had done very, very well. So they're like, let's get this out before Christmas, because, you know, all the young Joel Babingtons in the world are going to need this.
Going to need some Sweet Kisses for Christmas.
So Joel, look, this is very 90s me, I have to say. Like, if I'd heard this as a kid growing up in Malaysia, I would have probably enjoyed this album very much then.
So did it for you, did it feel, even though you hadn't listened to it before, did it feel nostalgic in a way?
Exactly. That's kind of what it is. That it felt familiar in a nostalgic way. Like, it just made me think of just like being at home in Kuala Lumpur, listening to Celine ballads, Mariah ballads, Whitney. Like, I think Jessica would have slotted in very nicely in there if I was aware.
Wow. Jessica needs to get the Asian tour booked.
Yeah, look, do we know if she's toured Asia?
She must have done a lot of promo stuff over there. It would be ridiculous if she hasn't. So, David, can I please jump off with my standout of all standouts?
I know you've been waiting over 3.5 years for this, so hit us with it.
This is one of my favourite Jessica songs of all time. It is a hit on JB1. It had to be on there. I've got my eyes on you.
Boy, I've been watching you, and you've been watching me. I know you want me, baby. I'm gonna make you see. I'll give you what you need. I know the way you feel. I'll take you higher, baby. I want you here with me. Everything you say, everything you do, makes me go.
We're feeling the synthy guitar riff. Is Jessica doing a bit of Disney Channel teen pop? I can definitely hear this on your first album. Yes.
Which is like that. It's only like the real, aside from a single that we're going to talk about, it's the only like teen pop moment on the album.
It's true. Yeah. I think there's so many like serious power ballads on here that when this track came on the album, I'm like, you forget that she's what, 17, 18 when she was making this. So yeah, like girl, she deserves to have fun. Yeah.
And yeah, it just slaps. It's a la-a-a-aps.
Yeah, I mean, maybe in an alternate universe, it could have been single number 4.
It should have been. There's a few fantastic live performances of this. One on, I believe, her official YouTube account where she's rocking a cowboy hat.
Oh.
And she's loving life on stage. And then there's another one from her Disney Channel special. And then you can see it performed live daily in my shower. Yeah, not so much Alex. I think he knows how he just has to put up with it now 3 years in. But the neighbours. Oh my God, Jessica Ann Simpson's album track from 1999 again. Any standouts for you, Dave Oavo?
This literally hit me in the face when I was first listening to the album, Final Heartbreak.
Banger.
You know what? This kind of feels like an 80s song that's been retrofitted for the 90s. Mm. Like, I feel like in an alternate universe, it could have been a hit for Bonnie Tyler or even Tina Turner. Like,
wow.
In the 80s, just think of this as an 80s power ballad, like rocking guitars, crunchy drums. And I love this. Like, I also love the sentiment of this hun coming in, going, like taking advantage of this guy who's just had his heart broken and going, this could be your final heartbreak because I am the one.
Very mature, very like mature track for what it is, isn't it? It's like the mature, it's like that, like if like, if I've got my eyes on you, the teen pop moment on here, this is like the cool aunt.
This is the cool auntie that takes that other track out shopping. Yeah.
For its first bra. Me and you, our shopping montages. These can be the two tracks.
Me with a big perm.
Looking at the camera, smoke machine.
Really loud print shirt. Yeah, you gotta have it.
Yes, very that. I love that. I love like the whole Bonnie Tyler aspect, essence of it.
I feel that. That is the spirit. Yeah. Now, JB, give us another album highlight.
We have to talk about it, David. Woman in Me, featuring Destiny's Child.
Can you see the woman in me? Do you really want to see the woman in me? Let me show you.
Like, who can say they got Beyoncé to feature on an album track on their debut album? Who can say that apart from Jessica Ann Simpson?
And Matthew Marsden.
Matthew fucking Marsden. I just don't understand what was going on there. Like, was Matthew Marsden another, like, Tommy Mottola priority act that we weren't aware of?
In the UK, they got this show, Coronation Street. There's this guy, Matthew Marsden. He is going to be huge. He's the male Mariah Carey.
When you do this, like, Tommy character, it reminds me of, you know, Space Jam, the movie, where they've got the evil boss that's smoking.
Well, Space Jam 3, I am available. We're going to make that character a little bit more sexy, but I could do it. Absolutely.
Like, very interesting, this album track, Woman in Me. It was written by a 90s Swedish pop star called Meja, I think you pronounce it. It's M-E-J-A. I distinctly remember in Malaysia seeing posters of her album out. I don't think she did anything really big, but like checking Wikipedia, I was like, oh, there she is again. Very iconic Latavia spoken word that we get in this track.
Again, like we did with Matthew Marsden.
The girls do actually connect with Jessica, I think the following year, right? They go on an MTV TRL tour together, right?
They do.
You know, she had a bit of an affinity with Beyonce because she also saw that her father was managing her. So she always felt like there was a mutual understanding between them. And she said how much fun it was going on tour with Destiny's Child because prior to that, she had toured with Ricky Martin and 98 Degrees. So it was always boys. So she actually felt like, oh, I have girlfriends to hang out with for a change. And Ashley and Solange, you know, Ashley was Jessica's backup dancer. Solange was Destiny's Child's dancer. So they got to hang out and become friends too.
I mean, that is what I need to know more about, this friendship, Solange and Ashley. That's the duet I never knew I needed. That's the collab. Imagine if they just wanted to do something fun and drop like a girl power dance track anthem. Gay rights.
Disney Channel Pride presents Ashley Simpson and Solange in an exclusive 5-track mini album.
Sod the Avengers. That is what we need. So did you have any other standouts on this album, David?
This is not a standout for me, but like it's something I do want to bring up. The final track on the album is Heart of Innocence. I don't know. It just makes me feel a little bit strange because there was a lot of talk from the very beginning of Jessica's career about her virginity and her being Christian and she's saving herself for marriage, right? To me, and I think we would agree, you would agree that like it's weird to talk about someone's virginity, let alone teenagers.
Yeah, I think it's disgusting. I think it's what made the world think they have the right. I know. What made the press think they have the right, which made us as a public think we had the right to talk about
it. Why are we talking about this stuff? It's so personal and private. So anyway, that became a thing in her career in the beginning that also she was that happy to talk about that because she wanted to represent the Christian girls, right? And fair enough. Look, in this day and age, maybe that's not a popular route, but this was 99 and there's a big Christian population in America. So Jessica was probably their poster girl for that. So this song is actually like a virginity ballad. Not the most memorable tune, but God, some of the lyrics, it just makes you think, what the fuck? The lyrics go, I have a gift for you, something that I've held on to, waiting for your sweet caress. No ribbon has been untied from all that I hold inside, and only you will possess this heart of innocence. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Now, if you want a personalized version of that, you can book David Lynn on Cameo. I actually think the last two tracks on the album, Your Faith in Me and Heart of Innocence, you know, it takes a lot for a ballad to be a standout for me. I do think they are really lovely tracks. The vibe of the album, David, is definitely, I would say, more of a mature vibe than the other Fab Four's debut albums. It really does feel like a light Mariah Carey or Celine. So this album charted at 25 on the US Billboard 200, which really is very impressive. It went 2 times platinum there. 16 on the Japanese album charts. That is fantastic. It went gold in Japan, David, selling over 100,000 copies. In Australia, David Lim, it went in at 52. What were you and the girls doing? Okay. That is going to be quite a problem.
Too carried away with Dawson's Creek to rush out to Target to buy Sweet Kisses.
Yeah, you peaked too early by wasting your pocket money on the Dawson's Creek soundtrack. Here in the UK, it went in at 36.
What were you thinking, Jolie B?
I'm sorry, that's a lot better than Australia. So Scotland, 51. Come on, guys. 34 in Canada.
You said it peaked at number 25 on the US charts, right? I think Tommy Mottola was expecting a lot more for this album. So I think because it wasn't like a top 10 or number one or whatever it is, like there was a lot of pressure put on Jessica at this point. You know, she only had one single out. They expected this album off the bat to just do amazing. Shall we look at the second single, which is an interesting choice?
we've got Where You Are, a duet with, obviously, Nick Lachey. Now, David, I'm going to say straight away, I do think this is a stunning ballad. I really do. When you wrap me in your wings and
I do think this is a stunning ballad, and I wasn't expecting to like this one. At this point, the Nick and Jessica story is in its very early stages. She had been touring with 98 Degrees, supporting them on tour, and she's been like low-key dating Nick, like not made it public or anything. But they've started to have more and more public appearances together, culminating to this point. The label's going to be like, look, you're already being pictured out a lot and there's that press interest, so this needs to be the single.
I do not think it should have been the second single. I think it should have been the third or fourth single. But I'm also guessing, like you were saying, I'm sure with the press, it was probably a good opportunity. But also with the film soundtrack opportunity, I'm sure that would have been very like time.
I mean, I don't recall thinking of this as like an actual single.
It's just America. America only, really, in Canada. Didn't do Europe and Australia and Asia, I don't think.
But isn't it wild that at this time that Nick Lachey is more famous than Jessica Simpson?
Yeah, I literally, and I mean, UK followers tell us otherwise culturally if they were a thing here. I only really know him through Jessica and yeah. Newlyweds.
I couldn't name you a 98 Degrees song. It's no 100 Degrees by Kylie and Danny Minogue. It's only 98 Degrees.
Exactly. The Minogue's too up to you there. I do have to say, like, he, when I was a kid, I fancied him so much.
Oh, yeah. He's just got that face, doesn't he?
He just sort of, like, looks like...
an American jock.
Walking porn. Yeah.
Walking porn?
Yeah, like, is it like, you know, that kind
sorry,
of
Wendy,
just...
cover your ears. Sorry. Your mum's listening.
You know, that just sort of like, that just like hunk, just sort of, you know, like
Sean Cody.
Yeah. That bro hunk, like almost like a cartoon, but like a really sexy one.
And while we're talking about the budding romance of Jessica and Nick, we have to say, and this blew my mind when I found out about it, they were on the very first ever cover of Teen Vogue in America. I think we're now seeing the seeds being planted of the kind of newlyweds and the kind of Nick and Jessica power couple thing.
Yeah, America's sweethearts. It's like these two, which we'll probably talk about more in part two, but they really did like define Y2K love. You know, they were the poster for, they literally were the poster for love in the 2000s or for a time of it. And yes, it went to number 22 in Canada, but much more importantly than any chart position, David, this song won two Teen Choice Awards in 2000.
Wow.
Choice Breakout and Choice Love Song. And for Choice Love Song, it beat Savage Garden, Christina Aguilera, and Backstreet Boys. Deserved.
Wow. We're now entering, I guess, February 2000 with the next single, I Think I'm In Love With You.
Oh. Here is number one of two of my top two Jessica Anne songs and one of two of my favorite songs of all time ever.
Wow. This is it? Wow.
What's the word? I don't have the nerve to have put this on JB1.
Even in your dream, like, kind of fantasy album, you're like, no, this is sacred. Like, I can't be doing this.
You can't touch this.
Yeah.
I love this song so much, David. I can't put it into words.
What is it about this song that gets you? Because, like, to me, it's, you know, it's giving me parallels to Mariah's fantasy, but also like there's something very sweet about it and very like innocent about it, which I adore.
All of that, which you just, like you were saying in a way you didn't love it, but I think it's that it's one of my like go-to, like if I just need like pure happiness, this is one of my go-to songs that I just need this sure injection with it. It's that pure sugar sweet part of early Y2K that we love so much, you know, like I guess like kind of like Candy and Upside Down.
Mm.
And for me, this is Here Is Jessica Ann Simpson's Arrival. And I would definitely say how you were saying it's kind of similar to Mariah's fantasy. I've got in my notes more Mariah up-tempo than Britney question mark.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, I think it sets her apart from the kind of Britney Christina sound. And sorry, guys, I know it's like going to be so boring that we constantly bring up the other two, but this is kind of like we're trying to contextualize it, not to compare, but, you know, contextualize it and also celebrate the Fab Four.
For us, when we talk about it in this way, it's, as you're saying, contextualizing, but we're also trying to get into the mindset of what the competing labels are thinking at the time, because it's such a mad rush of so much going on in the industry at the time.
Yeah, and so much is at stake. There's so much money, there's so much budget. So it's always interesting to question the agenda and why certain things are done the way they are. But look, is it wrong for me to say, JB, that I'm more familiar with the remix of this song, the Poppers O'Clock remix, than the original, because I added it to our club right back at your playlist. So I've been listening.
Which one is it? Hex Hector?
Yeah, I think it's Hex Hector remix. Oh my God, it's full on bonkers and I love it. It's just like, if you need a workout playlist, check out our club right back at you, because it's a lot.
It's a lot.
And in the best possible way.
We love a lot. So, again, it for me, it does feel, this whole thing does feel kind of more 97 than 99 or 2000, but I don't care.
It's just fun, isn't it? And God, this music video was so much fun. And it's the first time we're seeing Jessica do choreography in a music video. You know, she's given us two ballads and suddenly she's like, girls just want to have some fun. It opens with like the biggest group of girlfriends on a shopping trip you've ever seen. Like, I don't even have that many friends. And she's like literally taking up the whole street. They all have their shopping bags swinging around. And then they see these like cute removalist guys in boiler suits dancing, which I always think is like, this is a very Joel Babington music video.
This is one of my favorite music videos of all time, David. And I'm obsessed with the red car, the red Jeep that she has in this music video. So there are these scenes of her driving around, or someone's driving and she's kind of standing in the Jeep, living her best life. And there's scenes around the Jeep.
Very safe.
Safety first. You know what a stickler I am for safety. But thanks, David. You've now ruined this music video for me. Anytime I see a car similar to that, I have to point it out and take a picture. No one cares, but I do. You might see it on my Insta stories time to time, and I'll like put the song on. I'll at Jessica Ann Simpson. I love the routine, David. If for me, the mood feels very like Grease, the musical on the pier at the beach. And I love in the choreography, like the click and turn, click and turn, click and turn, click and turn. Iconic. Iconica Simpson.
Now, Successica Simpson herself will tell you that she, you know, dancing isn't like one of her strongest suits. She didn't love doing it as a kid. So I imagine like, look, maybe going into this, she had to really prep herself for the dancing element. A click and move, if that's what it takes to just keep it simple, keep it streamlined.
And then the kids at home like me can copy.
Yeah. I'm surprised she didn't do a steps and do like an instructional inside the CD.
Should have. Or she could have been like, and now I'm going to hand over to my sister Ashley, who's going to teach you this routine.
Oh, bonus content only on the CD single when you put it in the CD drive on your computer.
Yeah, trying to work out on the pixels what the hell's going on. And I do think that another reason why everyone was so obsessed with Nick and Jess, I know he's not in this music video, but hold on tight, is that aesthetically, they are such the 2000s version of Danny and Sandy from Grease.
Aww.
And I do think if we, you know how we currently love to do these live TV musicals? I think if they'd done one in 2000, should have cast Nick and Jess as Danny and Sandy in Grease live.
That would have been a huge blockbuster hit, yeah.
So, David, do you think this should have been her debut single? Slash, do you think anything could have been different if this had been her debut?
Oh, gosh, it's hard to say because she did spend 5 consecutive weeks at number 3 with that ballad. Mm. So it's not like it was bad. Could this have done better? I don't know. It's hard to say. It's certainly a more fun outlook.
Because to me, like when I look at these holy trinity of 4 amazing women and I look back at how I, you know, it's like their first 4 singles, I always think of this in hands with Baby, Genie and Candy. I put,
yeah,
I think I'm in love with you in there with it. So, guys, there are some more iconica Simpson live performances of this track. She performed it at World AIDS Day in 2000, where she is rocking some iconic crimped hair at the end of her hair.
We've all done
and,
it.
and she is wearing a metallic outfit of Y2K Dreams. And she also performed it at Arthur Ashe Kids Day in New York. I'm not really sure what that is. Maybe some of you can inform us. But it is a fabulous, fabulous performance. So in America, it went in at 21 on the Billboard Hot 100, which I think is pretty impressive personally. On the US mainstream top 40, it was at number 5, which is pretty great. In the UK, it went in at number 15. Come on, guys. This has top 5 all over it. 20 in New Zealand, 10 in Italy. Oh, David Lim, if I had a hat on, I'd take it off to you. Number 10 in Australia.
Another top 10 hit for Successica Simpson Down Under, a certified gold single. So, yeah. Look, I don't really recall hearing this in Australia at the time, but I must have, like, in some way.
Also in 2000, David, she had the early 2000s rite of passage. She had a Disney Channel concert special co-headlining with Jason Reyes, who is unfortunately no longer with us, but it is an absolutely fantastic concert. It's got Jessica and Ashley hanging out, going to the spa, Jessica meeting fans, having a chat, all interwoven with your favorite songs and singles from the album.
She must have felt like a real full circle moment there, not making the Mickey Mouse Club and then having her own Disney special.
This is like, I'm a star now. I'm not part of a cast of kids. I'm Successica Ann Simpson. So, David Lim, let's move to 2001. Jessica Simpson releasing one of the greatest pop songs of all time. We're here at number 2 today, guys, of my favourite top 2 Jessica Ann and top 2, or some of my top 2 favourite songs of all times. Irresistible.
This is my favorite Jessica Ann Simpson bop. Like, I cannot get enough of this song. Like, it's just a true obsession. This is me down to a T. You know me, I love a bit of Y2K pop R&B. And this is just immaculately produced. I distinctly remember this in Australia. So I actually think this was the first Jessica Simpson music video I saw, and maybe first song I heard of hers, because I saw this on Video Hits in Australia. I was like, wow, like, you know, I love a futuristic music video of this time. Give me all the graphics, give me all the slick metallic stuff, like Shania Twain, I'm Gonna Get You Good, Vicky B, Out of Your Mind, J-Lo, Play, all that futuristic stuff. I live for it. So yeah, it really caught my eye, this music video.
So do you think, right, by here, They were trying to push Jessica now away from this, like, Mariah Carey light to more Britney.
Oh yeah, look, there's a definite change of vibe right here. First era, very wholesome, crisp white shirt, jeans, you know, wholesome image. And now we're giving you sex hair, we're giving you fake tan, you know, black leather ensembles, gyrating, midriffs. I mean, she's always shown the midriff, but this is like midriff times 10, you know, she's like sexed it up a little.
We've got a new hair color sort of from our Jessica Ann Simpson. She's gone from blonde to brown hair with blonde highlights, which I still think is one of the best hair choices a girl could do. or boy or non-binary. I mean,
all the girls at school, all the girls at school had highlights like that. It was just a thing to do at that time.
Oh, I think it's Jed Glenn. I think it's good. I'm just like, if anyone wants, everyone still to this day asks my hair opinion, I'm like, I think Jessica Simpson nailed it when she went from blonde to brunette with blonde highlights. I think you should give that a go.
That is the mood board. Take that to your hairdressers. Yep.
And here we've got Y2K female sexy robber James Bond. Greatest of all time. Greatest of all time.
You know, it's like I watched this music video back when it came out and I don't even remember the plot. And today I watched it really thoroughly before recording and I'm like, oh, they're robbers. Is that what it is? I was like, didn't even get that plot.
Climbing, they're all robbing on the roof, robbing in the building. She's exploding. She's in the sexy sewer. She looks phenomenal. It's really horrible to hear now that in her book, she sort of felt uncomfortable and the pressures that were on her, because telling a young woman to lose weight, telling anyone to lose weight is absolutely disrespectful.
There's a real change in the waters at Sony at this point. Tommy Mottola, between the first album and the second album starting, said to her, like, next album, I want to see a six pack. I want Janet Jackson abs. So insane amount of pressure on young Jess. The other two Fab Four's career has really taken off. So she's under pressure with this album. And it kind of feels that, yeah, we're going to get into it when we talk about the album. But it kind of feels like, yeah, they're really trying to...
Jumping at several things.
But this was successful, though. Come on.
This is, like, as well, one of the best songs of all the Fab Four's discography. Also, do you think they were trying to push for this another Britney with a bit of Mariah, but they actually got the Christian Willeford?
Stop it. Stop it.
And we have banned here on Christian FM Willeford's I Wanna Be Bad, but we have a new hit in from Jessica Ann Simpson with Irresistible.
And do you know what's really astonishing? It sounds like a Dark Child record, but it's not.
It's not.
It's done by Swedish pop producers Anders Bagg, who did Samantha Mumba's Gotta Tell You. It could have had me fooled.
Could have had you fooled. And we'll talk about it in the album, but it is interesting that they didn't go, okay, what if we want to do Britney thing, it would make sense to like say, okay, well, let's get Max Martin. Like, let's latch onto that. But they actually went sort of cooler by doing a bit of a Dark Child route.
Yeah, I mean, we do get some Dark Child tracks on the second album. I wouldn't say they're top tier Dark Child. It might have been like third from the bottom drawer Dark Child, but still... This is what we want. Whatever Anders Bagg was doing on this record for Irresistible, that's the level we want.
Imagine if like track 1 to 10 was just like all Irresistible level. And I just think it's one of the greatest sadnesses of our time, of our world, that this has really been slept on in history. We've not corrected that wrong.
We must also say, JB, there were remixes around this. And again, look, we're seeing them try different things with Jessica Ann in this time. There is a So So Deaf remix featuring Lil Bow Wow. On paper, I read that and I get what the brief is. But when you listen to it, it's like, oh.
Because I guess where they're like, well, if they're trying to still bring something from the Mariah Carey element, Mariah obviously did that amazingly. But they're also seeing people that she is on a par with at this time, Destiny's Child, are doing that really well. But the differences, which you've educated me hugely on, is that when Mariah and Destiny's Child do that, it's a whole new song, whereas this Irresistible remix...
So they've literally slapped on the same vocal from the single version onto a slower, more stripped-back hip-hop beat. And it doesn't work, honey, because she is not actually performing for this particular track.
So this was number one in every country around the world. It actually still is number one in several countries.
Ed Sheeran didn't get a chance. Couldn't get past Jessica Simpson. Irresistible this week.
No, you know, he tried to knock it off, but he didn't even make the top 100s.
Yeah, sorry, Lil Nas X and Drake.
Oh, no, Lil Nas X is at number two or behind Irresistible. Imagine if Lil Nas X did a cover of Irresistible with Jessica Ann.
Oh, wow.
That would be sexy.
Yeah, that is the... What year did this come out?
2001.
So that is the 20th anniversary. That's the 20th anniversary gift we need.
Imagine if he came out and was like, yeah, I fucking love that song.
Or he does like a TikTok with it. Like,
yeah.
Oh.
trying to recreate Sexy Robber. All right, Lil Nas, Sexy Robber, Jessica Simpson, irresistible TikTok trend. We need to see it. So this song, David Lim, went in at number 21 in Australia. What the fuck?
Shocking.
Number 1 to 21 was filled with Kylie and Zane. I actually meant to say Delta, but Danny came out because that's how much I love the Minogues. Number 11 here in the United Kingdom. So that's a bit better, actually. In America, it went in at number 15 on the Billboard Hot 100. Now that's really impressive on the American charts.
But again, you know, I feel like Sony's like, uh-oh, not a top 10, freaking out.
But it was number 3 on the US mainstream top 40, which is great, and 5 on the US top 40 tracks. So, you know, someone just put those numbers in front of Tommy. 26 in Japan, I just spat with excitement as I said that. But legacy-wise, this is a phenomenal song, still number 1 in our hearts. Can't wait for the Lil Nas trend. And then next year at the VMAs, it will get the TikTok viral trend award, like Ali and AJ just won for potential breakup song. So shall we talk about the album, David?
Yes, Irresistible, the album, arrives in May 2001, just, you know, ahead of summer. Let's get a sexy new Jessica Simpson album out. And boy, like we said before, lots of concepts was happening here. You know, we're running a gamut of sexy, noughties, pop, R&B, dance bangers, but also like very signature Jess power ballads. And then just for good measure, let's throw in a gospel hymn at the very end of the album. So
just to remind everyone
that she's a good, wholesome Christian girl. Yeah. We've got Corey Rooney, who's worked with J-Lo working on this record. Dark Child, as we said before. Top ballad producers from the first album are back on album number 2 here. And also Walter Afanasieff, who is known for the Mariah ballads. Teresa, the A&R who discovered her and worked with her on her first album, wasn't involved in the second one. She kind of got pushed to the sidelines. So Jess felt like she lost that buffer, that person that would stand up for her.
Yeah.
In the record company structure.
Yeah, they're not letting Jessica be Jessica Simpson, the artist. It's,
well, not even the Jessica Simpson they were marketing and building a fan base for just a year ago. Like now they're completely, they're moving the goalposts. But that having said, there are some beautiful ballads on this album. You know, never mind the sexy image and all that. This is more interesting.
Okay, so what were your favorite ballads then?
So I will say big shout out to When You Told Me You Loved Me, the Walter Afanasieff ballad.
Dramatic.
Dead willowy, dead dramatic. Like, you know, we love a little sad, wilting Spanish guitars and sweeping orchestral strings. Like, and I think, I read online that this was released as a promo single in Brazil. So maybe if...
Shout out to Brazil.
In an alternate universe, this could have been a potential single for real.
That would have been a lovely third single, actually.
Mm.
And like, wistful little Jessica... Kind of walking around like a villa with the wind blowing through.
Basically, we won that Martine McCutcheon video where she's in that Italian villa. What was that song?
The second single. The second where there was two Martines and she got the sunglasses on.
We won that exact music video brief.
Yes, for Jessica. To circle back to you saying there were great ballads on this album, David, there you were. Stunning ballad with Mark Anthony. Do you think Nick Lachey was like the champagne glass smashed?
he's listening to the final mix of the album. Jess has brought the CD back to their flat. And he's listening. He's like, that is not my vocal. That is another male vocal on this album.
He's like, oh, really? Didn't realise.
Sorry, baby. I thought it sounded just like you.
Did you know, David, that then a year later, a cover of this song is featured on the H and Claire album?
You now, better not. No.
The UK Jess and Mark.
Stop it.
So I was listening to it, maybe last year I was listening to the H and Claire album for the first time. I don't know why it took me so long. It's actually a great album. We might get to it one day. And I was like, this song is so familiar. And it took me a while to... I couldn't pinpoint it. You broke through the storm and you turned back the night. Baby, you are the fire burning the midnight sky. And your light keeps taking me higher. Just when our hope was gone, we're the hero. Wow. Okay, H and Claire, look...
It was a flex.
Someone in a team was a fan of Jessica Simpson.
We've got some bangers here on this album. What's it gonna be? Tell me, boy, tell me, boy, tell me, boy. What's it gonna be?
Oh, yeah. This is the one where she's like telling the guy not to mess around with her, right?
Are you gonna be a dog or a gentleman?
Classic lyric.
Yeah.
This one is very Britney-esque. Melodically, I would even say it's copying Lucky.
The up-tempo Lucky.
The demon twink Lucky. Speaking of demon twink, oh my God, my behavior last night, I was just like living my best life, dancing.
You should be.
Oh my God. I was like, and then this morning there were videos in the group chat. I'm like, no, don't want to see that. But I was giving you pop star though.
Oh yeah, live your best life, David Lim.
What's It Gonna Be is a banger. Did you also enjoy Imagination, the Dark Child track? Dead Funke.
I did enjoy Imagination. I've just got Dark Child Edge.
This is Dark Child for S Club 8, I feel. I can hear S Club 8 doing this song.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of cute. It's kind of fun.
But speaking of the Dark Child bangers, the other one, I Never, Dark Child, yeah, is my favourite of the two Dark Childs. This is a standout on the album for me.
This is a good companion song to Irresistible.
Sit around and take this foolishness. You're acting like you can't see a man and take my pick. You better play it cool. All this game you lose, I'm telling you the truth. So don't you try to tell me you've been.
One last one for me, David, and we've like picked over half the album here. So while it is a bit of an eclectic kitchen sink, there are some really good moments in that. It's just not a cohesive body of work, but that doesn't mean there aren't some spectacular highlights here. Like hot, like fire.
I've got a question. Who is it? Ashley Simpson in that long, long dialogue in the beginning of the track?
The introduction of artiste Ashley Simpson. Ashley Simpson telephone intro. Jessica, I saw him with her. You what? Oh,
it was just so over the top. It's very like when a friend leaves you a voice note and it's very, very long. And it's like, honey, it's a voice note, not a podcast. So they're like some, you know, she's giving you spicier lyrical contents this time around, you know, not just love songs or songs about grief and things like that or falling in love. Like she's giving you, you know, how old is she at this point? She's like 24, maybe?
No. She would have been about 21 here.
Real coming of age. You know, there's a real difference between 17 when she recorded her first album and now 21 with this one. So she's more grown up, more mature, you know, we're showing more attitude. I actually enjoy the first album more. I know it's shocking to say, like, apart from Irresistible and When You Told Me You Loved Me, that album track, I'm leaning more towards album one. I know it's shocking to say, but like...
That is. But I really love how it gave you those nostalgia feels. I think because the first album's a more cohesive body of work in ways. Whereas this one, I think if you actually look at the tracks individually...
But in terms of your personal enjoyment, this is the one.
Yeah, I would do a hybrid of the two. I'd take out the tracks I don't like on this and put my faves from the first one in. So this went in at number... This peaked at number 6 on the US Billboard 200, which is really impressive.
That's not bad at all.
Yeah, Columbia, Australia's getting the facts. Oh, that's not bad at all.
Very Danny Minogue on the phone. I wasn't expecting that at all.
Now I'm number six. It went in at number 81 in Australia.
Oh.
Higher or lower in the UK?
I would say, okay, it's got to be higher than 81.
It went in at 103. I do not know what the hell we were thinking.
103 in the UK.
Yes. Yeah,
and
disgusting.
She came and did fucking Top of the Pops and all that. And it was 103. That. Joel, what were you thinking?
Where was the ITV SMTV special? I'm shocked.
Where was the sketch with Ant and Dec and Kat?
Number 13 in Canada, 93 on the European top 100 albums, 24 in Japan. Gold in America, gold in Canada, gold in Japan.
And plastic in the UK. Plexiglass in the UK.
As we said, has beat out Ed Sheeran constantly on the Right by Catcher charts. There was actually a lot of touring for Jessica in the Irresistible era, David. She was part of the TRL tour, the one and only TRL tour to date, with Destiny's Child, 3LW, Dream. What a tour to be at. And then she went off on her first headlining tour, the Jessica Simpson Dream Chaser Tour, David. Now, unfortunately, there was no official sort of footage or release of this, but do you know what? It looks amazing from the bits that are out there, like full Y2K Jessica Simpson pop mode. Now, do you know what I love about this tour, David? Instead of going for your typical amphitheatres, theatres, arenas, stuff like that, they built a purpose-built venue for 10,000 people, and they would go to mall parking lots and pop it up and set it up there. And then there would also be like fun fairs and stuff going on at the same time while the performance wasn't happening. So big family day out, lots of fun things for you to do. And then you get to watch the headlining show. You also get to see your support acts, who include Eden's Crush.
Yes, Nicole Scherzinger's original group from Popstars America, Eden's Crush. Isn't that crazy? So yeah, look, I think that concept sounds really fun. So this is a North America only headline tour. There was 25 dates. I believe some of it got cancelled because of 9/11, right?
Yeah, I've got 15 shows here.
We are now in October 2001, and we are talking about A Little Bit, the second and final single from Jessica Simpson's second album. To make this last, a little more time, a little less sweet, a little more heart, a little less break. Simple and true, what they say. Look, we are getting another sexy, futuristic Y2K music video here. This one's directed by the acclaimed director Hype Williams.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't think it was Hype's most innovative day in the office. You know, this was basically a green screen dance music video, but we do have some amazing Kane choreography, giving us Liberty X just a little here.
The budget of the Irresistible music video is not to be seen here. I think it's a fantastic music video. Jessica's brilliant in it. It's just a shame that we are being given what appears to be a much lesser budget.
You know, I love a beret.
Oh, yeah.
I love a beret. We are getting a sexy beret from Jessica Simpson here, a denim beret that matches her denim skirt. Oh my God.
Wow.
I need that denim beret so badly. Also, we can't talk about this song without acknowledging that the iconic Rosie Ribbons, your very own Rosie Ribbons here in the UK, releases as a single the following year. Joel, what do you think? Thoughts? Because I know you like Rosie as well, but obviously Jessica is your number one. So what are the feelings?
Who are these UK pop gays in the industry that are like giving the tracks to H and Claire, Rosie Ribbons? I'm not the kind of girl to sit out on the sidelines. The kind of girl who doesn't say it straight from her mind. You gotta know what I'm feeling on the inside. I ain't into games that I wanna waste. Any time and all the energy we could spend. Being together but forever, you're my best friend. For me, it was quite a shock, to quote Lisa Scott Lee, because I couldn't process it. But I think Rosie did a fantastic job.
Fucking great job, Rosie.
Jessica's a vocal level and Rosie's matching it. I think for me, Jessica will always be the elite version, but I think Rosie is fantastic, another Telstar Records icon.
I will just say that vocally, don't kill me now, don't terminate this Zoom conversation, but vocally I prefer Rosie Ribbon's version over Jessica's. I love the production in Jessica. Oh! Literally left. That screen went dark.
Don't mess with me, David.
All I'm saying is I just want a mashup. Someone out there, please do a mashup. I want the beat from Jessica's version. We want the vocals versus from Rosie. And then for me, pre-chorus from Jess. But verses from Rosie, please. That's what I want.
I am here for it. I think Rosie is fantastic. I think it's really good that her album, Misbehaving, has finally been released and is on streaming because it wasn't released back in the day. That version by Rosie peaked at 19 here in the UK. Lots of love to Rosie. Very, very talented from the pop idol phenomenon.
And can we also say, Jolie B, this is clearly a beret anthem because Rosie's wearing a beret in her music video for a little bit as well. And hers is a sequin beret. Oh,
my God. We've got to get you these berets.
We're going to recreate this.
Which one do you want then? Denim or sequins? And I'll have the other one.
You can have the sequin one.
Because you want the denim one.
Well, there we go. TikTok content coming.
So this song, Davo, went in at... it didn't chart in America, unfortunately. 15 in the Netherlands.
62 in Australia.
And 21 in Poland.
Not even in the UK. Wow.
The tour's done really well, and we thought we'd just give it a bit of an exclusive to those territories.
Yeah, because, you know, the Polish fans have been so patient, and they really deserve a little bit more.
Again, right, so we've got Jessica looking absolutely phenomenal in the single cover, but I just don't think it looks like our accessible girl. She kind of looks like a gorgeous fembot.
I think a lot of this just comes from growth and knowing yourself. And I just don't think at this stage she really has had time to do it. You know, she's been working and had this pressure of supporting her family from the age of 12. Like, I just think there is a lot at stake here. And, you know, she was at this point just going, yes, whatever the label says I have to do to have success, they know more than I do. So, yeah, I'll just listen. And her father, who's the manager, wasn't pushing back and saying no, because he was also like, he's never worked in his industry before.
New manager.
You know, so he was just kind of going along with it and just telling her what to do based on what the label wants her to do. So I just don't think, yeah, she was being very looked after in a lot of ways here. So, but we're going to see her level up in the next part.
So we also just have to touch on, also in 2002, Columbia Records did release a Jessica Simpson This Is The Remix album. It's like a fantastic EP to have, but whilst we see someone like Destiny's Child release a This Is The Remix, and that does kind of stand on its own as a new album in a way, this one is very much giving you... You know, we've got two club mixes of Oh and I Love You Forever, two remixes of I Think I'm In Love, two remixes of Irresistible, and a remix of A Little Bit. It's kind of more the remixes you've already had slapped together on one disc.
And these are the Papa's O'Clock ones. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Not necessarily R&B.
No.
No, it's Papa's O'Clock. So yeah, this is her Margate Pride. Her Margate Pride set is this... Joel's already there clicking his fingers. Front row.
I've been here all week to get a spot at the front. Also in 2002, Jessica was on the first ever edition of Disney Mania. Now, a lot of you have messaged us before and gone, you didn't mention it when we've covered our other acts. So this is a real body of work that is icons only, a Disney covers album. We have Jessica Ann Simpson doing Part of Your World from The Little Mermaid, which is a gorgeous, gorgeous version.
I think I actually did download this from LimeWire back in the day.
Yeah, me too. We also have our faves, the 18s, with their version of Under the Sea, the superior version, some might say. We got Queen of Eyewear, Anastasia with Someday My Prince Will Come, right up there at track one, front and center.
She opens this Disney Mania thing. And do you know what? I also believe I downloaded her version of Someday My Prince Will Come.
That was fantastic, David Lim. Anastasia had joined us for a second there.
How did Ronan Keating get past security and end up on this soundtrack? Why is he doing Circle of Life?
It's a circle of life, David. Sometimes you're on there, sometimes you're not. Something international there.
You know, we've got Christina Aguilera Reflection, which is a legit soundtrack song.
And then we've got Islands, Christina Aguilera with the Circle of Life. Good for Ronan. Good for Ronan. And then last but not least, also during 2001 and 2002, Jessica did perform for the troops several times, which she talks about in her book as something she is very passionate about. Well, David Lim, is there anything else we want to talk about in this little special today?
No, I think we've covered really quite a good scope of the introduction to Jessica Simpson's career. I cannot wait. I know I've waited a long time to even get started on this, but now I cannot wait to do part two, which will focus on the In the Skin album and my favorite Jessica Simpson album, A Public Affair.
Part two is going to be dead exciting. And you know what, David? I cannot wait to share that with you.
This has been fun, and thanks for pushing me to do this, because I've really gotten a lot out of this, especially out of Jessica's book. So please, guys, once again, as if we haven't stressed it enough, give Open Book by Jessica Simpson a go, especially the audiobook.
Do listen to the audiobook. It comes with 6 brand new songs at the end, which are wonderful. Don't forget to use promo code RightBackAtYou for that Audible trial. I am so honoured that we have finally done this, David. And listeners, it's been wonderful to share it with you. Let us know which are your new favourite Jessica Simpson songs. Let us know which have always been your favourite Jessica Simpson songs. We are at RightBackPod on all social platforms. Hit subscribe, tell a friend, 5-star review, email us rightbackpod@gmail.com. You can follow me at Dr_JoelB, and you can follow him at
Love Limmy.
Until next time, bye.